The Apostle Paul was an individual that lived by the law. Before he became a Christian, that was his mainstay. He lived by the law and he obeyed it with all of his heart. And so what he is saying here is really hard, because he has come to a conclusion that you cannot be saved by keeping the law. And he recognized that he couldn't keep the law perfectly. And finally, he was convicted of something. And then he became a Christian. And I believe this is him talking as a Christian, when he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am the flesh sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Now that's a tongue tire. So as he says this, I want you to recognize something that he is trying to point out. When he says that the law is spiritual, it originated in the mind of God, and therefore it's good. If everybody kept the law perfectly, that is the law of Moses, or the law that's even in the mind of an individual, if he kept it perfectly, then he would be able to go to heaven. He would be able to be in God's presence. But man does not do that. The only one that ever did that was Jesus Christ. And we get in the God-breathed scriptures everything that God wants us to do. But more than that, in the God-breathed scriptures, we find that we get eternal life if we come at it in the right way. Paul had entered the wrong way, even looking in the Old Testament. I believe that there were some that approached the law in the right way, but Paul was not one of those. He was an individual that took great pride in the law, and he found out that the law killed him. So in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. In fact, everything you need, God has breathed it out, put it into the scriptures, and those scriptures are the very thing, especially the new covenant. Those things are that which can save us, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We had learned that in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith unto faith," and so on. So he's pointing out there that man is going to be saved by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and by participant in those things as you study further. As we look at this, I want you to see what Paul is really saying. He's saying, though I am in tune with the law in my spirit, that is, the very heart of me is agreeing with the law of God, and my very heart wants to do what God wants me to do, in even the commandments, as my yet unredeemed body is my problem. I have a problem with something that has not been redeemed. My soul has been redeemed. My spirit has been converted. Everything is right inside of me, except there is something in my flesh that is wrong. And that is, it has not been redeemed as yet, but will be in the future. I am not only spirit, he is saying, I'm also a body. And as long as I have this body with me, there is going to be a problem. And that problem is really great to me. My body is such a problem that I hate the things that it does. I absolutely despise it. So I'm still under the influence of the physical part of me that I haven't been able to completely get it in control. There are times, and I think everybody here recognizes you have times, that sin comes out and you see it, whether it's in your thoughts, whether it's in your words, or whatever it is, you have done something you know is wrong. Sometimes you think wrong about somebody. Sometimes you think wrong and make decisions when you shouldn't. And so when you're looking here, he is saying, I've really got a problem with my body. So I want to tell you, first of all, why I believe this is from the Christian standpoint. You know, when I read other people, and one of my favorites is Jim McQuiggan, I was reading what he believes, and he believes that this was prior to him being a Christian, that he did this while he was under the law, and therefore that he is saying that that's what they did, but I'm doing okay now that I'm a Christian. First of all, the language is in the present tense. That doesn't always mean that you can't use it in the backwards. But he agrees with God's law and wants to do good. That's number one. He agrees with the law of God and he wants to do good. And if you remember, those under the Old Testament believed they were doing good by doing the commandments that they were doing and didn't see that they failed to do them perfectly. He hates the evil that he does. So there's some things that Paul is doing evil, even though I believe he is a Christian. He recognizes an ongoing inner conflict, a desire for good, and another law in his body working. So he is saying, inside of me, I am doing what is right. On the outside, I am not doing that well. So he has a problem, and I believe every Christian has that. And he cries out for Jesus to correct those points, and they're going to be corrected in Jesus Christ. So here is the argument, and I'm using just very quickly what Jim McQuiggan and others say. If this is the description of a Christian life, how can it be reconciled with what it says that we used to be slaves of sin? In other words, we're no longer slaves of sin. And that's 6:17 in case you want to look it up. We are no longer slaves of sin, and Paul means that too. And we have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. That's 6:18. So how in the world can we say that a Christian is going to do that which is wrong? And the answer is in chapter 6. It refers to the liberation of the spirit or the inner man from slavery to sin, while chapter 7 affirms that the body has not yet been so redeemed. So if my body hasn't been redeemed, then it's still there with the problem that it had before, and that is that it wants to do what's wrong. Do you remember in Galatians, he said, you can't do what you want to do. And what I'm wanting to do is sometimes last week, I felt like just slapping John. I couldn't do that because I'm a Christian. There's a lot of times that you feel certain ways as you're driving down the road. I watch my wife sometimes as she drives down the road, and before she thinks, some idiot has done something. So this is the fight between the flesh and the spirit. And you're going to have that until the day that you die. Then that fight is going to be over. And Paul is saying, under these circumstances, I just hate what I do. So Paul admits that sometimes sin takes control of me, but I do not want to sin. As my true master, he is not going to be my master. And I do not accept that for the legitimacy of my life. I can go on because I have been changed inside. While something's still going on the outside, something is feeding me from the outside, I hate it. Every time that I think wrong, every time I speak wrong, every time that I do something wrong, I absolutely hate it because I don't want to do anything wrong in God's sight. He even said spiritually that he had not come to the real point that he wants to, and that's truly controlling everything. What I want to do, not do, and what I hate to do, and the very secret of this is what and want and hate. I want to do what's right, and I hate doing what's wrong. I think this needs to be in every Christian. I want to do right. I want to do it perfectly. I want to be in harmony with God in every way. And my whole heart goes out to God. And yet I've got this problem, and this problem, I don't see how I can overcome it. He is going to give the solution at the end. Paul indicates that the object of his desire and purpose is the good. And goodness is identified with the law. So what is his point? His point is that I know that I cannot be saved by the law because I am a failure as far as doing it perfectly. And not only that, I am in Christ now. And why is this still bothering me so bad? Why am I living this way? What in the world, how can I get away from this problem that I have? And I think every one of us have the problem. I don't care who you are. In Romans 12 and 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect." So we can take the word of God, and he's saying, do not think the way that the world does. Get your thinking in accordance with God. And that takes a transformation of us. As Tim preached last week, we have to be transferred into, or he said conveyed, into the kingdom of his dear Son. But in doing that, he says that I am testing myself, I am proving myself, I am taking my mind, and my mind has accepted to do the will of God. I have surrendered my body to the service of God. But I still have that body that is becoming up a problem in me. And I want to get away from that more than anything in the world. But it still is bothering me, And my body just will not behave the way that I want it to. Even though my thinking is right, my body is taking me away by the desires that it has. So he hates the sinful desires that he has of the flesh. When we're talking about the flesh is quite a study that we can do later, but just as the regenerate heart desires and purposes to do good, so does it hate every form of sin and evil. Now I'm going to tell you, if you don't hate sin, if you don't despise evil, you can't be a Christian. You have to hate it, you have to despise it. And such hatred of sin is essential if you're going to repent. To find out that you're wrong in something, to find out that you're thinking wrong, and we can do that very often. When you find out that, you need to hate it, you need to get rid of it, you need to put it aside. Because it's there and you're going to have to deal with it every day of your life. So I deal with things every day, you deal with everything every day that you absolutely hate and you don't want that to enter into your life. There is a main reason for applying this passage to the regenerate rather than unregenerate man. What we want to do goes undone, and what we wind up doing, the very thing we despise. If you're a Christian, that's true. Have you ever yelled at your wife? Don, did you ever yell at her? Don't you hate it after you do it? We hurt other people. We don't mean to, but it just comes out. Sometimes my mouth doesn't say what I really feel in my heart, and therefore the wrong thing comes out, and I don't think about it. And all of us have this problem. We say too much, and then James warns us about this. But one of the things that we're looking at is we do things that we despise and things come into our mind that we despise, and we know that that's not the Christian attitude that we're to have. So the conflict between willing and doing is the Christian basic inner, and that's an tension all the time. That's why the Apostle Paul said that I buffet my body daily. Because it is wanting to take control. It is like that little angel sitting on each deal. One's the devil and one's an angel. And saying, do this. This is what you want to do. And the other saying, no, you don't want to do that. Don't do it. So that fight goes on and on and on, and it will continue to go on. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. How is that? Well, the law did what it was supposed to do. The law was never given to justify man. The law was given so that man could see what man is, could see how bad he is, can see, and it's also given to give order. The one thing about the stop sign out there is to keep order so that we don't run into each other. And this is what the law does. But the law does more than that. It sets forth a perfect standard that we find out that we do not meet. It's not because we can't meet it. It's because we don't meet it. We have been filled with so much junk. And Jesus was the only man that showed that it could be done. But we did not do it. God wants us to see that we are failures, that we are wretched, that we are terrible, terrible people. And it's those terrible people that God loved that he sent his son to die for. And that's amazing when you really think about it. Paul is reaffirming the point already made that he had made in 7 through 13. When a Christian sins, that does not mean he is casting aspersions upon the law and calling it bad. It means that he has violated the law and he needs to recognize that that is the point that gives us attention, that I have violated the law of God and therefore I need something to save me. Once I sin, there is nothing to save me unless God provides something. It's impossible to get rid of sin unless God forgives me. When a Christian sins, he is doing the very opposite of what his heart wants to do. Have you ever done that with somebody? The very thing that I don't want to do, I don't want to upset the other person. I don't want anybody upset at me. But at the same time, truth sometimes hurts. And I don't mind if I've done it with the right attitude. But the one thing that I want is I do not want for me to say the wrong thing, to do the wrong thing, act the wrong way. So what truly thinks of the law is shown not by his unlawful deeds, which are the product of the enslaved flesh. It's the inward desire to obey it. We can say it like this. I heard a long time ago. We can go out on the firing range, and Tim and I are going to show our skills, and Tim takes and he aims, and he misses the target. Hey, Tim, you missed the target. Do it again. He missed the target. Do it again. He missed the target. He's aiming, and something's wrong with his aim. And I'm over here, and I just start shooting it all over. God is looking at what you're aiming at. God is looking at what you are trying to accomplish with your heart. Wasn't this really the problem with Israel? They kept the law, but they didn't do it by faith. The truth is, they didn't really keep the law. And certainly they missed by faith. The inward state of our hearts demonstrate that we really do accept the fact that God's law is good in every way. It accomplished what it needed to accomplish. It showed me how I needed something better. Something better than law to save me. I need the blood of Christ. So he says, it's no longer I that do it. That is the central heart of me. Of course, he's doing with the body, but it's no longer I that's doing it. But there's something that we need to understand. Sin lives in us. Now, that's hard to grasp. Sin lives in us. Do you remember God says, if you say, 1 John, that I have no sin, you're really calling God a liar, because sin lives in us. Now, we're going to get rid of it whenever we finally die. But that sin is there in every human being that is of the age of accountability or can think. Further explains why I do not want what I, but I do what I hate. Is something is driving me, and it's driving me to do that, and I can't seem to escape it no matter how hard I try. Can we keep and control our body? Yes, we can. But just saying that we have to keep it in control means that it's trying to get out of control. I can control myself. I can remember my son Larry, and he had a flat tire, and he ran around that thing and kicked on it and kicked on it and talked to it and talked to it. Didn't do any good. Paul made an important distinction between sin, personified as an enemy, and the law. Personified just simply means it's like a person grabbing hold of you, and you can't get rid of it. The point was that sin deceitfully used the law to stimulate our disobedience to it. Isn't that go back to Eve? Where God says, don't eat of that tree of life. If the day you do, you'll die. And sin said, you won't die. And Eve says, you know what? I wonder, God must be trying to keep something from me. And she ate of it, and it was good. It felt good, and all of a sudden, her eyes are opened. Didn't turn out too well, did it? But the law itself does not cause disobedience. It's simply an instrument in the hands of sin itself. Sin will talk to you because when you find out you're not to do it, we've talked about this, that's when you want to do it. Now my spirit has been changed and reborn. I'm not doing these hateful things with my whole being. Something in me is doing that. And my inner self repudiates them even as I do them. Wow. Don't you hate what goes through you every day? The tendency to do wrong. And it stems from the sin that dwells in me. This is not an excuse for what happens. I have a personal responsibility to keep this in control, to keep those desires in control. But he says, even when I do that, I have not reached or attained what I have been bought for. I'm doing those things I do not want to do. I'm thinking those things I don't want to think. I'm saying those things I don't want to say. And I want to come back to my heart, God. Look at my heart. And doesn't God look at the heart? Paul speaks of sin living or indwelling himself. And this may seem strange for a Christian to say, but in the next few verses, he makes it clear that sin indwells not his spirit, but his body. So the body is the problem. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature or in my body. Nothing good is there. It doesn't want to do good. You know what? This body finally gets to where it's not fit to live in. But it doesn't. It wants to get all the gusto you can right now. That's what the body wants. And the inner man says, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. So this is a negative version of verse 17b and also serves as a qualified thereof. In my sinful nature is literally in my flesh. Again, the flesh refers not to the whole human nature as fallen, but only to the body. The statement, nothing good lives me, is qualified by being limited to the body. So inside of me, there are good things. In fact, the good things is my heart belongs to God. My everything, I am imbibing Christ every day of my life. Good does not live in me means that from the standpoint of my physical nature, I am not inclined to obey God's law. And if you notice something, I'm saying much the same thing over and over, and that's what Paul is doing. Paul is saying, I want you to get the message about me so that you can get the message about you. And that is, in your flesh, that is not what really wants to serve God, because it has not been redeemed. I have redeemed you in your soul. Your spirit has been converted. You are right with God. But oh, your flesh still gives you problems. The good behavior is enjoined by the law, and the evil is behavior forbidden by the law. You follow that? So God forbids you things, and we've got good and bad. The good is the law. That's good. The problem is me. The problem is me approaching the law. Because all of a sudden I want to do even the things that the law says not to do. Little kids don't have that problem. So this is not meant in an absolute sense, as if Paul were saying that he never does anything good, that he always commits every evil deed that he abhors. He's not saying that at all. In the comparative frequency of such paradoxical behavior, it's not the point. For the sensitive Christian, even one such incident is too much. One sin is too much. I don't want that in my life. In Galatians 5:17, he says, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So the fight is there. If I didn't enter into the fight, if I didn't recognize that I'm fighting, I would give up and do those things. But God says, you can conquer this. You can conquer it. First, hate the sin that dwells in your flesh. I'm concluding now. That's the first thing. Hate that sin that dwells in your flesh. Second, recognize that sin does dwell in your flesh. We sometimes think that we're so good looking. But sin dwells there. Third, let God solve the problem through Christ. That is the important part. I cannot solve that problem. Christ solves that problem when I come into Him. Be victorious above everything else. And then last, we look to the future, where Philippians 3:21 says, well, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned and like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subject all things unto himself. And I want you to remember this as we close. Jesus died in the flesh and paid the price for our sin in the flesh. And so we can be justified as we come and said, I did it again. Please forgive me. So the lesson's yours. You can obey today and come to Christ. You know what to do. So won't you come while together we stand and sing?